We want to turn again to the chapter that we read, Isaiah 49. And in the verse 16, we read these great words. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. And with the Word of God open before us and the Scriptures in our mind, let's turn to the Lord in prayer to seek His help. Our gracious and eternal God, we thank Thee for an open Bible. We thank Thee for civil and religious liberty. We thank Thee for the glorious gospel privileges that we enjoy. We thank Thee for our great heritage of Protestantism based upon the Bible. And we thank Thee, our God and our Father, for the truths of Scripture. And we pray that these might be riveted to our hearts, written upon our souls, that we may be ever mindful of all that the Lord has done for us. Lord, we do thank Thee for Thy mercies through another year, for all the way our God has led us. And as we come almost to its close, we pray that we will rededicate ourselves afresh to Thee and to Thy service and to the cause of Jesus Christ, that we might see God's work advance and God's name honored and a return even again in this land to the right ways of God, to the old-fashioned truths of the Scriptures. And grant, O God, that we will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, knowing it to be the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So bless us now, we pray. Lord, still our hearts in Thy presence and prepare us to receive Thy truth, because we pray in the Savior's name and for His sake. Amen. In this part of the world, we have a habit of remembering. And not that long ago, we were remembering those who gave their lives in two great world wars and in other conflicts around the world, as well as those who perished in our own province during many years of troubles. And it's good to remember. And we remember our heritage, and we remember what the Lord has done for us. And truly, we can say the lines have fallen unto us in pleasant places. Yea, we have a goodly heritage. And that's something we should ever be thankful for, and never at any stage be inclined to allow it to slip, but to hold fast to the old paths, removing not the ancient landmarks that God has been pleased to set up in our land. And with God's help and by God's strength, we shall maintain these things. But sadly, even as Christians, we tend to forget even some much more important and valuable things. We tend to forget our salvation and what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ to purchase it for us by His own suffering and death upon the cross at Calvary. we tend sometimes to let it slip what it meant for Jesus to bear away our sins. Yes, it is possible to forget God and to forget his goodness to us. Now, as we look back over the year that is almost gone, we want to remember the goodness of God and to praise him for all his mercies. In Isaiah chapter 49, God speaks to his ancient people, saying in verse 14 and in verse 16, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." And in spite of what the Lord had done for Israel, and in spite of all the Lord meant to Israel, they say in verse 14, and I want you to notice it, God's ancient people here are saying, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." Maybe you come to God's house today, and in a sense, that's how you feel, that during this past year, maybe you have said, "The Lord hath forsaken me. The Lord hath forgotten me." And it's very easy that during troubles and trials and afflictions and all the oppressions of the world, to get yourself into that frame and state of mind of thinking that all others have forgotten you, and even the Lord. Israel were God's redeemed people, saved by a miraculous deliverance, brought out of Egypt because of the shed blood, redeemed in a very special way. And they were God's people. And here they're saying, "God hath forsaken me. God hath forgotten me." What a tragedy when God's people get into that particular situation in their lives. Yes, God's people in this modern age may very well feel the same way as ancient Israel, especially when called to face some trial, be it a physical trial, be it a mental trial, be it a spiritual trial. Whatever its nature, being human, it is easy to cry out and to say, "The Lord hath forsaken me. The Lord hath forgotten me." But my dear friend, today, we should never even think the thought. We should not allow it to ever enter our hearts, never mind utter it with our mouths. Look at God's answer. He uses the very human argument about the mother forsaking her child. Normally, this does not happen. It doesn't happen. But on the rare occasion, sometimes it does happen. And we read about it in the papers, and we hear about it in the news bulletins. But generally speaking, Can a mother forget her sucking child? Can a mother not have compassion on the child she bore? And generally speaking, that's the case. God tells us. God tells us, I will not forget you. God will not forget us. And so to think that God would or God could forget us is tantamount to calling God a liar and accusing him of being unfaithful. Israel was unfaithful to God, but God was never unfaithful to Israel. As we look back over the year that's passed, we bow our heads in shame that there have been occasions when we've been unfaithful to God, while at the same time, our God has remained faithful unto us. We have God's answer to Israel's doubting. We have God's answer to Israel's accusations against the Lord. The Lord utters a truly amazing statement in verse 16. And he says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. And friend, if you have had a difficult year, trials have abounded, difficulties have arisen, I want you to remember on this final Sabbath day of the year that God says to you, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. What a verse. What assurance. This is a valuable treasure indeed. And I want us to look at each facet of it carefully this morning. We would never think of swallowing an orange whole, but carefully separate its sections individually and then enjoy the succulence and the sustenance of that beautiful Jaffa orange. I call it Jaffa because there's nothing to beat the Israeli orange. Let us therefore look at the verse God has given us today. I want you to notice the pointer in this verse. There's a pointer, and it's the word behold. This word is a signpost given by God. Behold, it is meant to attract your attention, to arrest our minds. It is a word of wonder, and we don't want to lose anything of the awe and the wonder of this great word. The Lord may bless us a thousand times, and at the very next trial, we doubt. Isn't that the case? Oh, we've been blessed time and again. And then, at the very next hurdle we have to face, we tremble in fear, and we stand in doubt, and we disbelieve the word of God. And then we complain that God has forsaken us and forgotten us. Can we not remember? He faileth not and he cannot fail. Surely we must be amazed on the one hand at the greatness of God, and on the other hand at our own stubborn unbelief at times. And when we try to compare them, oh, the faithfulness of God against the stubbornness of our own unbelief. Oh, friends, today, Job reminds us that we receive good at the hand of God. And all through the year, we have received good from the hand of God. Should we not sometimes receive that which your own feeble sense seems not to be good? There have been times this year when sickness arrived, when troubles came, and that which to our sense seemed not to be good for us, and yet in the great economy of God Almighty, it was allowed to come in order that we might receive the blessing of God even through such affliction and experience of difficulty. In the everlasting and the all-wise counsel of Almighty God, we shall surely prove the words of Romans 8 and verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, even to them that are called according to his purpose. It is one thing to rejoice when things are going well, but it is an even greater blessing to prove the faithfulness, the presence, and the power of God when things are not going quite so well for us. That's an even greater blessing, to prove the faithfulness of God at such times. And so God says, behold. In other words, he's saying to his people, look, I haven't forgotten. Look, I haven't forsaken you. Behold, the Lord, I change not. I am the same yesterday and today and forever. And the Lord has not changed. He says, I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forsaken you. And the Lord will never leave us either. There is the pointer in the word behold, pointing us to the Lord. And then there's the person. Note the pronoun I. The only person who can engrave our names on his hands is the Lord himself. Our merits, our prayers, our faith, no matter how great they may seem to be to us, these things cannot inscribe our names on God's hands. Only God can do this thing. Make no mistake about it. There are no erasures or crossings out of names that God has inscribed eternally on his hands. And your name is there as a child of God. And my name is there as one of God's redeemed. And there's nothing in this world, no amount of troubles or anxieties, can erase that name from the palm of God's hand. I'm glad I stand secure on the ground of redemption. I'm glad I belong eternally to the God of heaven. I'm glad that the blood of Jesus Christ not only saved me when I was 14 years of age, but that blood keeps on cleansing me from all sin. And that blood shall never lose its power. Never. Thank God I'm in the hand of God and my life rests there. Let's make no mistake. Little wonder the psalmist could say, "What is man? What is man that thou, O God, art mindful of him?" We're not deserving of the least of God's mercies, but he has blessed us with the greatest of his mercies. We don't deserve the least, and yet he gives the greatest. That's God. That's my God. He's your God. Let us lay hold of him today. He has written us upon his hands through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, upon the cross. And by what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us at Calvary, we are inscribed upon the very palms of his hand. We read about creation in Scripture. We read that the morning stars sang together at creation. Job tells us that in chapter 38 and verse 7. But we don't read that God sang, even though he pronounced his creation good. An interesting thought. And yet, we do find God singing over his redeemed people. Creation was a wonderful work of God. It was a miracle of God. It was a great work. And yet, the Bible doesn't say God sang over his creation at the beginning. But he does sing over you. Does that not tell me that you're greater in God's sight than the earthly creation? Does it not tell you that you're of much more infinite value than the dust of the earth? Thank God he sings over his redeemed people. And he has inscribed them on the palm of his hand. What an assurance and what a blessing it is to know that and to be reassured of it. The pointer is in the word behold, and the person is in the word I, reminding us of the God of heaven. I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hands. And then notice the past. Note the word have. I have engraven thee. It is not in the present or in the future tense, but it's in the past tense. Isaiah wrote almost 3,000 years ago, and he speaks in the past, even for him. 3,000 years ago, Isaiah spoke and wrote, and even for him, in that time of history, this is still in the past. Oh, thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ has inscribed my name on his hand from all eternity. From eternity past, when there was no beginning of time. Thank God we can say we're chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And thank God he has no beginning and he has no ending. And the life that he has given to me in Jesus Christ is everlasting life. It's God's life in my soul. And I have eternal life. And I shall never perish. And neither shall any pluck me out of his hand. Because I have been given eternal life, the life of God in my soul. Child of God, you have that life. Not only is your name inscribed in his hand, but he's given you eternal life. Oh, it's hard to escape the force of these words. God hath from all eternity inscribed his people on his hands. What security. What assurance. What a blessing. How then can we ever have the timidity to suggest that the Lord hath forsaken us? How then can we have the audacity to say that God hath forgotten us? And yet Israel did, in her unfaithfulness to the Lord. The pointer is in the word behold. The person in the word I, the Lord. The past is in the word have. I have from all eternity engraven you upon my hand. The procedure. We come to the word graven. This is a precious truth. And with that word, we tend to think of a name etched upon gold or silver or even a brass plaque. But God is not referring to metals here of any kind. No matter how valuable the gold and these things might be, God is speaking about hands, his hands, soft, loving, and saving hands, eternal hands, powerful hands. My name is inscribed upon his hand. Sometimes we would write a message on our hands. And I remember way back in my teenage years doing it oftentimes when I worked in a hardware store. And people were coming at you from every angle looking for this and for that and for the other thing. And sometimes the quickest and best way was just to jot it down on your hand. And then you could see it and remember the message. But those marks soon erode, don't they? And quickly disappear and never to be seen again. The idea in Isaiah is much greater and better. And Isaiah reminds us that it is written indelibly and with a mark that can never be erased and will never, never disappear. People may disfigure their bodies by tattoos and all that sort of thing, and after a time regret even entering into such an experience. thank God, we will never regret the inscription of our name in the hand of God. It'll always bring joy and comfort and encouragement and consolation to us while we're in this troubled world, passing through to glory. Thank God we have this tremendous encouragement on the way. We're speaking here of the Lord's hands. The graving tools were the rough Roman nails that were driven into our Savior's hands. Our sin leaned hard on those engraving tools. Thank God, the Lord Jesus gave his body to the smiters. He gave himself to the cross at Calvary, and they crowned him with thorns, and they bruised and pierced his brow. They spat upon him and tore the hair from his cheeks, and they plowed his back like a plowed field, beating him, scourging him, drove the nails into his hands and into his feet, and wounded his side with a spear. And all these markings and engraving tools were used to inscribe my name in the hand of the Almighty. And praise God, it will never be erased. Never. Never be erased. I am his, and he is mine forever. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Do you know him today? Maybe you're sitting in this church today and you've heard the gospel time without number, and yet you don't know him. I'm urging you with all the strength that I possess to come to Christ. I plead with you today to come to him. See from his head, his hands, his feet. Sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns come? So rich a crown. And when I see what Jesus Christ has done for sinners and suffered in their place, we can only cast ourselves at his feet in repentance and faith and say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Will you do that? Even as you sit, ere this year passes away, close in with Christ. Take him as your Savior and trust him as your Lord. I have graven thee. Notice the personnel, thee, Israel. Not just Jacob, but Jacob's posterity, the whole of the nation, the names of the tribes of Israel, inscribed upon the hands of Almighty God. Oh, what fullness is here! What ocean fullness is here! Not just our name, which is not a material part of us, but the whole person is engraved. Our person, our case, our circumstances, our sins, our temptations, our weaknesses, our works, our wants, our all. It's all there. It's all there. There is not just an outline of a sketch, but it's all there. I'm entirely engraved upon the hand of God. I'm glad when Christ died for me on the cross. He died for the whole man. And one day, even this defiled body will be changed. It will be renewed. It will be recreated. It will be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And should I pass through death and go to the grave, body and soul will be reunited one day. Glory to God, that day is coming. And praise God, the whole man, the whole woman is redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Graven upon the palms of his hands, never to be lost, but to be gloriously in the presence of God for all eternity. That's salvation. That's what I'm saved from and saved for. That's what I have in Christ. That's my glorious inheritance. Haven't we a lot to shout and sing about, to rejoice about, to be glad about? As we close this old year, let us rejoice in the God of our salvation. You notice the place, it's on the palms of his hands. Our hands grow in strength from our youth, childhood and youth, until they're strong in manhood. And then they begin to weaken. They begin to weaken with age. And eventually they perish. They die. But God never dies. And his hand never weakens. And his hand never perishes. Thank God we're safe in God's hand. We're safe in God's keeping. Notice the protection. I know our time is gone. It's upon the palms. The palms of his hands. That's where your name is found. A soldier going into war may have the back of his hand wounded by the sword thrust from his enemy, while the palm is protected. You just hold a sword. And while the back may be wounded, the palm is protected. There's no doubt there are many times when we get wounded in life. And there's no doubt our Savior was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And yet, since you and I are hidden in the palm of his hand, we're safe from all the attacks of the enemy. The enemy might kill the body, do his dastardly worst against us, but praise God, he can never damage the soul, which is safe in his keeping, in God's keeping, in our Savior's eternal keeping. Thank God, my times are in God's hand. My God, I wish them there. Pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as best would seem to him. Are your times there? Leave them with God today. Rest in the finished work of Christ. Trust and shelter in the wounds of Calvary. Lean upon the Lord. Let him be your shepherd, guiding you, leading you, and blessing you as he provides for you day by day. We're going to bring our service.